Good morning, Justin Scott and Spiegel on the flagship station of the Baltimore Ravens. Got a new memoir, As You Wish, Inconceivable Tales from the Making of the Princess Bride, also The Art of More, now streaming on Crackle. It is Cary Elwes. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Technically pronounced Elwes.
Elwes. Oh, have I been saying that wrong my entire life? I have been a fan, and I've been mispronouncing your name my entire life.
It's all good. I get it all the time.
Cary Elwes, I remember falling in love with you, as many of us did, when you were the sweet Wesley, As You Wish.
Thank you.
The Man in Black, the Dread Pirate Roberts, alongside Mandy Patinkin. And talk to us about this first memoir.
Well, I wrote this almost 27, 28 years after the fact, because I always get asked by the fans, was it as much fun making this film as it looked? And I always told them it was more fun. So I decided to share with them just how much fun it was for all of us, not just myself, for the whole cast and crew.
Yeah, and I watched something recently. God, I can't remember what it was. It might have been on YouTube or something, but it was kind of like, it might have been about Andre the Giant, but it was like a little behind the scenes thing with the making of the Princess Bride. And the one thing I was amazed by is... like how, and this is a sad thing a little bit, I guess, but how Andre the Giant, how like put upon he was physically, because, you know, he was getting older at that point.
Yeah.
And there was one scene where he had to, carry the princess or something, and they had to have her on a wire because he couldn't even hold up that amount of weight.
Yeah, he was in terrible pain,
yes.
Poor fellow. He'd been, you know, in wrestling, that you're supposed to pull punches and stuff, but people used to jump up and down on his back and bash his neck with chairs and stuff. And carrying around all that weight, over 400 pounds, and then being punished in the ring like that, he had terrible spinal pain. So he would drink. His doctor told him, they didn't know what medication to give him for pain, so they just told him he should drink the way he did for pain, which is what he did. But he never missed a line. He never missed a day. He always had a smile on his face. He was a sweet guy, adorable guy.
How do you decide what roles to take? Do you have a certain criteria?
I do.
Yes.
It's a very simple criteria. The criteria is this. Is this a show, TV, or film that I would go and watch myself if I wasn't in it?
Now, with that said, because you have a very large body of work that's all over the spectrum, from something as sweet and storybookish to The Princess Bride, and on the other end of that, me being a horror movie fan, Saw.
Right.
You were in the very first Saw when it was an indie horror film. It was
under the radar.
I believe you played Dr. Gordon, and then obviously it kind of eventually it spun out of control and just became just damn near horror porn. But that first one that you were in was pretty horrifying. What did you think about when you first got the script for Saw?
I thought, well, this is one of the most innovative scripts I've read. I mean, I hadn't read anything that exciting in a long time. And like, you know, Hitchcock, apparently when the film Psycho came out, the ushers wouldn't let anyone into the theater after the movie started because they didn't want anyone to give away the ending or anything, right? So it was like that. It had such a dynamic ending and such a twist to it. I thought, these guys are genius. And they were. I was right. They all both went on to, you know, become incredible directors in their own right, Lee Whannell and James Wan. And so I lucked out.
Does it still amaze you? Because The Princess Bride, that didn't have a lot of success when it first came out. It more kind of...
No.
It became a somehow, you know, as things happen, and as it happened with this movie, a cult classic. And I have a three-year-old, and I literally just sat down and watched it with her the other day, and thankfully she was entertained by it, because that's a win for daddy, because I get to watch it, and now she's into
right.
it. But is it interesting or amazing to you, the whole... cult,
sure.
Cult
I mean,
status.
We didn't really gain real fandom until the invention of the VCR. People started buying VHS copies or renting them and giving them as gifts to friends and family. So the film had another life. It was mostly dead for a decade and then came back. And thank God it did, because now we're having this conversation. It's incredible.
And now, I was reading your Twitter. And you sent a tweet to Donald Trump over the weekend.
Yes.
This was in response to the cast of Hamilton calling out the vice president-elect at the end of the show. And so you sent a tweet to Trump. You said, hey, Donald Trump, hashtag Trumperdink. I know you're very put out, but it's called free speech. Look it up. And he responded, right?
Well, he responded by blocking me.
Oh!
Now, and I thought, okay. And I wrote back going, that's a badge of honor, sir. Thank you. And then it just blew up after that. Now it's like become crazy viral. I mean, look, God bless him. I would have hoped there were more important things that he should have be focusing on right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of, he sounded like trumpeting to me, though. Silence them. You know? I thought, wait a minute. What is this?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, demanding an apology. But
apology?
It's, one, it's
what,
like
what,
a,
I mean,
a few steps away from like
off with their
that.
Heads. Right. Off with their heads.
But I wonder, with this, such a divisive election and the country split, do you ever worry about alienating some of your fans that might be Trump supporters?
I probably have.
Yeah.
But look, it was all in jest. I didn't, I'm not trying to alienate anyone. I'm hoping that honestly, if I didn't laugh, I'd be crying. It's important that we all come together and I'd like to give this guy a chance. I hope he does the right thing. You know, he hasn't taken office yet, so let's see what happens. But I don't want to alienate anybody. I don't want to piss off anyone. I'm just like a lot of folks. We're all a little nervous, a little tense.
Yeah.
Because there were a lot of things said that you know, made people feel that way in the campaign.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know, we're hoping for the best. So there you go.
As you wish, Inconceivable Tales from the Making of the Princess Bride, now available in paperback. Check it out again. We're talking to Cary Elwes on the phone. And, you know, I'm the big cinephile in the room, and you read stories about what happens when the director yells cut on the set of a film, famously in Blade Runner at the end of Rutger Hauer's monologue at the end. People were crying during Basic Instinct. People were gasping, and gentlemen were running off to the bathroom to do Lord knows what after Sharon Stone's famous scene. What was on the set it like? If you were there, it was a famous scene where Inigo Montoya, played by Mandy Patinkin, finally killed the six-finger man and uttered that famous line, "My name is Inigo Montoya, you killed my father, you son of a bitch," and then plunged that sword into him. And I mean, I came off of my sofa as a kid. I still will during that scene.
Yeah.
I'll
sure.
fist bump. I can only imagine when he yelled cut after that. What was it like on set?
Well, I think you have to ask Mandy, but I wasn't there that day, but for Mandy, is what he told me is that it felt enormously gratifying because for him, his father was dying of his father died of cancer. So he in his mind, Rugen was the cancer. Yeah.
Whoa.
Oh.
So it was very. That's why it was very poignant for him to say that line.
In that moment, when he put that sword into Christopher Guest's heart,
he was killing the cancer that killed his father.
Oh my God!
Wow, that's a great story.
I have to go watch that again.
That's
oh.
a great
it's
story.
All in the book. It's all in the book.
Yeah, this book. I'm getting it. Hell yeah.
Absolutely incredible. Check them out on The Art of More, now streaming on Crackle. If you haven't seen it, it's great. It's about like
thank you.
Cutthroat.
It is a fun show. It's really fun.
It's really good.
Nothing like it on TV.
It's free. It's free. It's on Crackle. It's streaming. It's about the intense world of like New York auction houses and just
right.
the
high-end and all the double
items.
Dealings that go on.
Exactly. It's
theft, forgery,
everything.
Deceit, you name it.
Wow.
And the book is going to be
great
if you're a fan of The Princess Bride, as I am. Cary Elwes, thank you so much for taking the time.
Oh,
with us, sir.
Thank
absolute
you for having
pleasure.
Me, guys.